Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll get some tips on autumn pet safety and then settle in for a tale about a black cat. Plus, is your cat a whiner? We'll tackle that in this episode, too. We'll start with this from Dr. Lacey Schabel at Embrace Pet Insurance. She has these autumn health tips for your pets. There's nothing quite like a crisp autumn breeze, beautiful foliage, and the smell of warm spices baking in the kitchen. Do beware, though. Fall ushers in a bushel of dangers for our furry companions. Here's how to keep your pets safe and healthy this season. Should you increase your pet's food? Some pet owners believe there is an increased need for food once the summer heat dies down. Is this necessary? Several decades ago, your veterinarian may have recommended a slight increase in your pet's food consumption as the weather cooled and your pet required slightly more caloric intake to regulate his system. Today, however, things have changed. With a shocking number of pets categorized as obese, and most dogs and cats are primarily house pets, this isn't a concern for most pet parents. If you do have a very fit working dog, a small increase may be a wise idea. With this said, an increase around 10% is probably all that is necessary. This does not mean an extra meal or an unlimited pass to the treats. The risk of school supplies. Many curious cats and dogs love the school and home project supplies left lying around the house. While kids may be dedicated to keeping their school supplies tidy for the first week or so, at this point in the season, school supplies may be holding living rooms hostage. School glues, permanent markers, and pencils can all cause upset stomachs. Heavy-duty glues can cause serious blockages in the GI tract and even require surgery to remove them, and part of your pet's GI system, too. Make sure your children's projects stay covered up and are not accessible to your pets. Dogs, in particular, seem to like the flavor of glue. This also goes for adults. If you're doing home improvement projects now that the weather has cooled off. Apple picking, not apple grazing. As it turns out, apples are not the cure to health for Fido or Fluffy. If your dog likes to graze the ground for food, consider leaving Fido at home during your stroll of the apple orchards. Apple stems, leaves, and seeds can cause GI upset. Decreased oxygen in the blood, decreased heart rate, difficulty breathing, seizures, coma, and even death. Keep the rich foods to yourself. Sharing human treats can be dangerous and even deadly. Stay away from desserts, candies, fatty meat, and trimmings, bones, gravies, calorie-dense casseroles, and seasoned sides. Don't forget, garlic and onions are toxic. A note for any season. Do you know the most popular flavor of dog medication? It's chocolate. Turns out we aren't the only ones that enjoy the rich flavor of cocoa beans. So don't leave the candy bowl or kitchen counter unsupervised and within a paw's reach for a moment. Mushrooms flourish in the fall. Did you know it? While most are non-toxic, dogs are highly susceptible to mushroom poisoning because of their wandering and scavenging behavior. Unfortunately, dogs are unable to sniff out the toxic ones. So the best way to avoid trouble is to keep pets away from areas where any mushrooms are growing. Dogs should be prevented from consuming mushrooms when they are being exercised. Profuse bloody diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain, dehydration, fever, and elevated heart rates characterize the initial phase of mushroom toxicity. Without treatment, the pet will succumb to liver and kidney failure within 3 to 7 days. And snake bite season is here. Autumn is the season when snakes prepare for hibernation and are more likely to strike, increasing the possibility of bites to naive and curious pets. Be aware of what kinds of venomous snakes are in your area and practice snake bite prevention by avoiding the areas they most often inhabit. Now, What's in a meow? Here are 7 reasons your cat won't stop meowing by David F. Kramer at PetMD. Few things touch the heart of a cat lover more than those few meows of a newborn kitten. In reality, however, the language of the cat has much more to do with humans than with cats. Over the course of thousands of years of domestication, the modern cat has turned the humble meow into a unique way of communicating with its people rather than with other cats. This employment of exclusive human-feline communication is indeed a thing of mystery. Cats communicate with each other through body language, body positioning, scent marking, and facial expression, as well as through purrs, chirps, hisses, and howls. Rarely do they meow around and to each other when people aren't present, says certified cat behavior consultant and cat coach Marilyn Krieger. Meows are reserved for people. They communicate a cat's state of mind and emotions. They also convey needs, such as wanting to be fed, petted, or let in or out. So, pet owners are the true masters of the meow. With all of this meowing business meant just for us, you'd think we'd be happier to hear from our cats on the regular. But if your cat's vocalizations are getting on your last nerve, here are some potential causes, as well as some techniques that might just quell all of that cat speak. Boredom and breed. When we find ourselves bored or anxious, we might be prone to making small talk to fill the void. Your cat is no different. And a lack of things to do or play with might very well bring out the order in your feline. If late-night yowling performances from your cat have become the norm, there are some actions you can take to keep your cat interested in doing things other than vocalizing. Please, don't leave cats alone for long periods of time without anything to do, says Krieger. It's a great idea to adopt bonded pairs of cats. They keep each other entertained. She adds that it's important to provide lots of enrichment, including vertical territory, boxes, paper bags without handles, scratching posts, ball and track toys, and other safe toys that can't be dismembered and swallowed. The answer to fighting boredom, says Krieger, is to get involved in your cat's life. Have regular play sessions, treasure hunts with puzzle toys that hold treats, or begin a program of clicker training that can modify some undesired behaviors. Some cat breeds, Krieger advises, are considered to be chattier, like Siamese, Abyssinians, Burmese, Bengals, and others, so potential owners should be aware of what they might be getting into when they choose a breed to own. Hunger. Not surprisingly, a prime source of increased feline vocalization is hunger, whether actual or perceived. If your cat believes that a noticeable dent in its food constitutes it being empty, then you're bound to hear about it, and will probably continue to hear about it until the bowl has been topped off. According to Krieger, you might be better served by changing your cat's feeding regimen. Cats that demand food should be fed small amounts, 4 to 6 times a day, recommends Krieger. There are timed automatic feeders available that will dispense food on a schedule. Some have ice packs, perfect for wet food. Also, enriching the environment with vertical territory and places to hide along with ball and track toys can help. Owner encouragement. Some people enjoy the sound of their cat's voice. When people like the meowing, they can enforce it with attention and treats, says Krieger. But she adds there are times when the meowing is problematic, such as in the early morning or late night while people are trying to sleep. In addition to not reinforcing the behavior, the reasons behind this behavior need to be identified and addressed. Training your cat to unlearn this behavior can be difficult, and the fact that folks love holding conversations with their pets doesn't help. Many cats and people do answer back and forth to each other, holding conversations, Krieger says. It works both ways. People enjoy the interaction. They like their kitties, that their kitties answer them, and the kitties like the attention. Pay attention to me. The fact remains that the reason your cat is so noisy and demanding might just be your doing. There's a fine line between positive and negative reinforcement of your cat's behavior, and staying on the right side of this line can be difficult. As mentioned previously, the most common reason for your cat's meowing is probably the most obvious one. It gets results. In the same way that a human infant discovers that by crying it can receive food, comfort, and attention, your cat is just as quick in making the mental leap between the meow and being rewarded with what it wants. This habit can be tough to break for both you and your cat. Rewarding quiet behavior is a possible remedy, says Krieger, but it will require you to ignore your cat's pleas for attention and rewarding your cat with affection when she's sitting quietly. Attention-seeking meowing, claims Krieger, can be stopped gradually and without the use of negative reinforcement when your cat is vocal. First, it's important to address the need for attention when the cat is not demanding attention, with play sessions, treasure hunts, clicker training, and other activities, says Krieger. At the same time, the meowing is never reinforced with attention. When the cat is quiet, she's reinforced. Clicker training is a very effective tool for this. Advanced age. As cats age, they can lose their faculties in the same way we do. There are a number of factors that can cause an elderly cat to meow more or louder. Kitties who are losing their hearing often increase the volume since they can't monitor the level of their vocalizing, says Krieger. Diseases and pain can also cause cats to vocalize, she says. Physical and behavioral changes related to age can manifest as stress, anxiety, compulsive disorders, and litter box problems. Any one of these physical or mental challenges can lead to changes in your cat's vocalization. Kitties that have feline cognitive dysfunction often walk around meowing, says Krieger. Sometimes these little ones can be found at night sitting facing a corner and meowing. Whenever there are changes in behavior, including the meowing, cats need to be checked out by a veterinarian. Pain and other medical factors. Dr. Adam Denish of Ronhurst Animal Hospital in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, says that excessive vocalizations from your cat can be a sign of pain or illness and shouldn't be ignored. Pain is the most common cause of increased vocalization, he explains. The source of the pain can often be difficult to find, as cats tend to hide when they're hurting. The pain might be dental, orthopedic, or abdominal, among others. In addition to pain as the cause, we see animals that are blind, diabetic, or with thyroid problems, as well as cancer, all of which, he says, can lead to increased vocalization. For some cats, vocalization just says that something is wrong, and it's the job of you and your vet to find out what that is. And finding a solution. If caterwauling has become a problem in your home, it's always best to take your cat to the vet for a full medical evaluation, says Denish. If your pet is deemed medically healthy, then the vet will look for environmental or neurological causes such as stress or anxiety, as well as abnormal interactions with other pets and humans at home, he says. Medications can be given, but only in cases where your vet feels that it would be beneficial. These might include herbal medications as well as real medications to calm a pet down or decrease its level of anxiety. Well, I hope that was helpful. From PetMD, here are 10 Halloween safety tips for pets. Halloween can be a festive and fun time for children and families, but for pets, let's face it, it can be a nightmare. Skip the stress and keep your pets safe this year by following these 10 easy steps. First, trick-or-treat candies are not for pets. All forms of chocolate, especially baking and dark chocolate, can be dangerous, even lethal, for dogs and cats. Symptoms of chocolate poisoning may include vomiting, diarrhea, rapid breathing, increased heart rate, and seizures. Halloween candies containing the artificial sweetener xylitol can also be poisonous to dogs. Even small amounts of xylitol can cause a sudden drop in blood sugar and subsequent loss of coordination and seizures. Xylitol ingestion can also cause liver failure in dogs, even if they don't develop symptoms associated with low blood sugar, adds Dr. Jennifer Coates, veterinary advisor with PetMD. And while xylitol toxicity in cats is yet to be established, it's better to be safe than sorry. 2. Don't leave pets out in the yard on Halloween. Vicious pranksters have been known to tease, injure, steal, or even kill pets on Halloween night. Inexcusable? Yes, but preventable nonetheless. Black cats are especially at risk from pranks or other cruelty-related incidents. In fact, many shelters do not adopt out black cats during the month of October as a safety precaution. Make sure your black cats are safely housed indoors around Halloween. 3. Keep pets confined and away from the door. Indoors is certainly better than outdoors on Halloween, but your door will be constantly opening and closing, and strangers will be on your doorstep dressed in unusual costumes. This, of course, can be scary for our furry friends, which can result in escape attempts or unexpected aggression. Putting your dog or cat in a secure crate or room away from the front door will reduce stress and prevent them from darting outside into the night, a night when no one wants to be searching for a lost loved one. 4. Keep glow sticks away from pets. While glow sticks can help keep people safe on Halloween night, they can add some unwanted drama to the holiday if a pet chews one open. Thankfully, the liquid inside glow sticks is non-toxic, so it won't actually make pets sick, Coates says, but it does taste awful. Pets who get into a glow stick may drool, paw at their mouth, become agitated, and sometimes even vomit. Coates recommends that if your pet does chew on a glow stick, offer some fresh water or a small meal to help clear the material out of the mouth. 5. Keep Halloween plants, such as pumpkins and corn, out of reach. While small amounts of corn and pumpkin can be fed safely to many pets, ingesting uncooked, potentially moldy Halloween pumpkins or corn displays can cause big problems. Gastrointestinal upset is a possibility whenever pets eat something they aren't supposed to, and intestinal blockage can occur if large pieces are swallowed. Coates adds that some types of mold produce mycotoxins that can cause neurological problems in dogs and cats. So keep the pumpkins and corn stalks away from your pets. And speaking of pumpkins, don't keep lit pumpkins around pets. If you're using candles to light your jack-o'-lanterns or other Halloween decorations, make sure to place them well out of reach of your pets. Should they get too close, they run the risk of burning themselves or causing a fire. 7. Keep electric and battery-powered Halloween decorations out of reach. Electric and battery-powered Halloween decorations are certainly safer than open candles, but they still can present a risk to pets. Pets who chew on electrical cords can receive a possibly life-threatening electrical shock or burn. Batteries may cause chemical burns when chewed open or gastrointestinal blockage if swallowed. Shards of glass or plastic can cause lacerations anywhere in the body, on the body, or if swallowed within the gastrointestinal tract. 8. Don't dress your pet in a costume unless you know they'll love it. If you do decide that Fido and Kitty needs a costume, make sure it isn't dangerous or simple or simply annoying to your pet. Costumes should not restrict movement or hearing or eyesight or the ability to breathe. Coates warns that pets who are wearing a costume should always be supervised by a responsible adult so that if something goes wrong, it can be addressed right away. Listeners, this article comes with a photo of two dogs dressed in Halloween costumes. One is sporting bat ears and a Batman outfit, and the other is wearing another superhero costume with a cape and a gold crown, similar to that of Wonder Woman. From the facial expressions of these canines in that photo, Wonder Woman looks okay with it, but Batman is definitely not smiling. 9. If you are going to dress your pet in a costume, try on pet costumes before the big night. Don't wait until Halloween night to put your pet in a costume for the first time. Anytime you want to introduce your pet to something new, it's best to go slowly, Coates says. Get your pet costumes early and put them on for short periods of time, and piece by piece, if possible. Make it a positive experience by offering lots of praise and treats. Coates adds, if at any time your pet seems distressed or develops skin problems from contact with a costume, consider letting him go in his birthday suit. A festive bandana may be a good compromise. And 10, IDs please. If your dog or cat should escape and become lost, having the proper identification will increase the chances that he or she will be returned. Collars and tags are ideal if a good Samaritan is able to collect your wayward pet, but microchips offer permanent identification should the collar or tag fall off. Just make sure the information is up to date. Use Halloween as a yearly reminder to double-check your address and phone number on tags and with the company who supports pet microchips. And finally, here is a tale called The Black Cat's Message, a Texas Halloween story excerpted from Spooky Southwest, retold by S.E. Schlosser. I came home late one night after work and found my wife, Ethel, puttering about the kitchen with a big yellow cat at her heels. And who is this? I asked jovially. This is our new cat, said Ethel, giving me a hug and a kiss to welcome me home. She just appeared at the kitchen door and wanted to come in. None of the neighbors know where she came from, so I guess she's ours. It will be nice to have some company around the house. I bent down and scratched the yellow cat under the chin. She purred and stretched. Well, I think our income can stretch far enough to feed three, I said. My son had taken over my job at the mercantile, and my wife and I were enjoying a leisurely old age. I liked to keep busy, though, and so I spent a few hours a day cutting and hauling wood to be used at the mill. I went out to milk the cow, and when I came back in, Ethel gave the cat some cream in a saucer. We sat on the porch after dinner, and the cat sat with us. You are a very nice kitty, I said to her. She purred loudly. Donald, Ethel said. She sounded worried. I turned to look at her. The neighbors acted rather oddly when I told them about the cat. They seemed to think she was a ghost or a witch of some sort, transformed into a cat. They told me to get rid of her. A witch? I asked and laughed heartily. Are you a witch, little kitty? The cat yawned and stretched. Reluctantly, Ethel started to laugh with me. It seemed such a ludicrous notion. We sat watching the beautiful sunset and then took ourselves to bed. The cat quickly became an essential part of our household. She would purr us awake each morning and would beg for cream when I brought in the morning's milking. She followed Ethel around supervising her work during the day and would sit by the fire at night while we read aloud. The days became shorter as autumn approached, and I often would work until nearly sunset, cutting and hauling wood. One night in October, I didn't finish hauling my last load until dusk. As soon as I had piled the last log, I started down the road, hoping to get home before dark since I had not brought a lantern with me. I rounded the corner and saw a group of black cats standing in the middle of the road. They were nearly invisible in the glowing dark. As I drew nearer, I saw that they were carrying a stretcher between them. I stopped and rubbed my eyes. That was impossible. When I looked again, the stretcher was still there, and there was a little dead cat lying on it. I was astonished. It must be a trick of the light, I thought. Then one of the cats called out, Sir, please tell Aunt Can that Polly Grundy is dead. My mouth dropped open in shock. I shook my head hard, not believing my ears. How ridiculous, I thought. Cats don't talk. I hurried past the little group, carefully looking the other way. I must be working too hard, I thought, but I couldn't help wondering who Aunt Can might be, and why did the cat want me to tell her Polly Grundy was dead? Was Polly Grundy the cat on the stretcher? Suddenly, I was confronted by a small black cat. It was standing directly in front of me. I stopped and looked down at it. It looked back at me with large green eyes that seemed to glow in the fading light. I have a message for Aunt Can, the cat said. Tell her that Polly Grundy is dead. The cat stalked past me and went to join the other cats grouped around the stretcher. I was completely nonplussed. This was getting very spooky. Talking cats and dead Polly Grundy? And who was Aunt Can? I hurried away as fast as I could walk. Around me, the woods were getting darker and darker. I did not want to stay in the woods with a group of talking cats. Not that I really believed the cats had spoken. It was all a strange waking dream brought on by too much work. Behind me, the cats gave a strange shriek and called out together, "Old man, tell Aunt Can that Polly Grundy is dead." I had enough. I sprinted for home as fast as I could go, and I didn't stop until I had reached the safety of my porch. I paused to catch my breath. I did not want to explain to Ethel that I was seeing and hearing impossible things. She would dose me with castor oil and call the doctor. When I was sufficiently composed, I went into the house and tried to act normally. Ethel and I had been married for 30 years, and she knew me inside and out. She didn't say anything until after I'd finished the chores. Then she sat me down in front of the fire and brought me my supper. After I'd taken a few bites, she said, "Tell me all about it, Donald." "I didn't want to worry you," I said reluctantly. I was reluctant to talk about it, and I had heard it on the way home. The yellow cat was lying by the fire. She looked up when she heard my voice and came to sit by my chair. I offered her a morsel of food, which she accepted daintily. "I'll worry more if you don't tell me," Ethel said. While I was walking home, I said I thought I saw a group of black cats carrying a stretcher with a dead cat on it. Then I thought I heard the cats talking to me. They asked me to tell Aunt Can that Polly Grundy was dead. The yellow cat leapt up onto the windowsill. "Polly Grundy is dead," she cried. "Then I am the queen of the witches." She switched her tail and the window flew open with a bang, and the yellow cat leaped through it and disappeared into the night. Ethel had to dump an entire bucket of water over my head to revive me from my faint. "The good news," she told me when I sat up and swearing, because the water was ice cold, "is that you have nothing wrong with your brain. The bad news is that our cat has just left us to become the queen of the witches." "Oh, no," I said immediately. "I've had enough of cats. We got a dog." And that'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.